1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great wonder. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is a mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Then he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the horse sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth or hath a kingship over the kings of the earth. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Verse 9 to 19, we have the three categories. Verse 9, the kings of the earth. And the verse 11, the merchants of the earth. And then verse 17, the shipmasters, the company and ships and the sailors. And verse 18 and 19 are really their words. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, ye thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. We trust God will bless what we have read together for the reading of His Word tonight. So our topic for tonight is the introduction to Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And over the next number of weeks in the will of the Lord, we'll spend our time discussing these chapters. Having come through and finishing up last week the judgments, the vile judgments of chapter 16, we noted last week that that took us really all the way until the end of the tribulation. The end of the seventh vials being poured out take us really to the end and the doorstep of the millennium. So as we have seen in the past in some of the chapters of Revelation, we're going to look back now in 17 and 18 and look back at some of the events of those years that have been spoken of in the previous chapters. And specifically, we're going to look at the rise and the fall of some of the leaders and some of the institutions and systems that have been taking place during the years of the tribulation. This is the fourth of four parenthetical sections. You notice we looked at them in previous weeks and months. So chapter 7 was the first one dealing with people. And then chapter 10 and 11 looked at places. Chapters 12 to 14 looked at the purposes of God. And now as we look at chapter 17 and 18, now we're going to look at two different powers. The religious power and the commercial powers spoken of as Babylon in 17 and 18. I provided there the outline to 17 and 18, and we'll look at that as we go through the Bible studies. But just quickly to notice the outline. Chapter 17, I think, divides nicely into three sections there. So verses 1 to 6, we have the indictment of the harlot. And there we'll look and see the judgment that is planned for her. And we'll see her character and see the sins that God has remembered her and the name that she has. So that's verses 1 to 6. Moving down to verses 17 to 18, we have what I've called an interlude to describe the beast. Really, we could read the chapter coming from verse 6 and then down to verse 15. Really, it could be the flow of the chapter. Verses 7 to 14 are put into the middle to describe the beast that this woman is sitting upon. So there we'll see the character of the beast. It's another description. We were introduced to this beast in the first part of chapter 13 of Revelation. And now we're going to get further details about him, where he comes from, what he is like, and how he relates to different powers in the history of mankind. So that's verses 7 to 14. When we come down to verses 15 to 18, we have there the inescapable judgment of the woman, of the whore. And so we'll see the woman's influence over the world. The fact that she is made desolate. And the interesting and fascinating feature that really it is God who is overruling in these matters. And it is the will of God that is being carried out even by the men and the powers of the earth. So that is the judgment of the woman in the end of chapter 17. Moving through the outline into chapter 18, again, this divides nicely into three sections. So verses 1 to 8, we have the fall of Babylon that is announced. We have this glorious messenger that comes down from heaven. We have the announcement of the fall of Babylon. And then we have the remembrance of her sins and the recompense and the judgment that will be meted out upon her. So it's the fall of Babylon that is announced. Verses 9 to 19, I've labeled there earth's sorrow. And it is divided into three sections again with the kings of the earth and their lament. And the merchants of the earth and theirs. And the sea traders and their lament. And those sections are all have the... we'll notice as you go through them, each one of them in verse 10 and verse 16 And verse 19, the word alas, alas, or woe, woe, as they see the judgment of the great Babylon. Earth's sorrow at the judgment. And finally, there's one verse in between, verse 20, the heavenly refrain. And then finally, verses 21 to 24, when we get to that, we'll see Babylon's desolation. And we see there is the sentence of God has been meted out. It's with violence. And then we'll see its scope. And we read those verses, and it's like six or seven times over, we have that phrase, no more at all. There's nothing going to be there, as we see in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 18. And finally, at the end of the chapter, we have the recounting of the sins of great Babylon. This is a fascinating section of the book of Revelation. It is not without its difficulties, and we'll acknowledge that at the beginning. Seek in the notes, and as we have, will present and go through the Bible study, seek to have a balanced approach to these chapters, and one that is hopefully defendable as we move through the different points that are there. I have noted for you that there is likely three or four, maybe five different keys to these chapters. And if we can get them straight in our minds and consider them, I think will do us good as we go through these chapters. One of them is an understanding of the timing. When do these events take place? And what is the main subject of the chapters? Secondly, we'll need to look at the distinction between these chapters, between chapter 17 and chapter 18. That's very instructive as we look at what is in these verses. Then we're going to look at the difference between what is symbolic and what is literal. There's a number of things in these chapters, perhaps more than other chapters, that are symbolic. And yet there are things I think we must take literally if we are able to understand the chapter. So there will be a distinction between that which is literal and that which is symbolic. And finally, there also is Old Testament prophecy. Babylon features greatly in our Old Testament. I wasn't able to look at it myself quickly, but someplace I was looking at mentioned that Babylon may be mentioned, the second most mentioned city as in relation to Jerusalem in our Old Testament. And so it is something that was foremost in relation to the people of God and the people of Israel. And so it's something that we need to look back at, and it will provide us some instruction in relation to these chapters, in particular chapter 18. So it's from these standpoints that I've interpreted these chapters. They will definitely acknowledge that there are some other viewpoints upon them, and they will likely come out as we look at the Bible studies in the weeks that are ahead. Still questions that I have on some of these verses, and yet we will leave some of these details until the weeks and the opening of some of those chapters. Moving now into the timing and the subject of chapter 17 and chapter 18. You will recall as we have come through the book of Revelation, as we have read through specifically chapter 14 and chapter 16, there were two previous mentions of Babylon in the book of Revelation. In chapter, look back at chapter 14 and verse 8, we read there, it says, Babylon has fallen, that great city. And I suggest to you the revised version that says there, fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. The word city is likely not there, and I believe that speaks to us of and relates to chapter 17, the judgment of the harlot, which is given the name of Babylon the great. When we come to chapter 16 and verse 19, which we looked at just last week, we have there the words, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. And the context there is the different cities that are coming under judgment. And so that is something that I believe corresponds to chapter 18 of Revelation, where you have the great city Babylon. Chapter 14 refers to a judgment that occurs, I believe, before the mark of the beast. Remember, the mark of the beast is something that was mentioned in chapter 13 and verse 17. The institution of the mark of the beast, people cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. I believe the judgment of the harlot occurs just before that. And that's referenced to chapter 14, bringing us really to the timing of chapter 17 would be around the midpoint of the tribulation. When we come to chapter 16 and verse 19, that's the end of the vile judgments, the bowl judgments. So that's the end of the tribulation, the seventh vial, bringing us to the end of the 7 years that are in view. So I would take it that chapter 17 or the midpoint and chapter 18 would take us really to the end of the tribulation. The Babylon in its two forms and its judgments are the subject of these chapters. If you look at Babylon, really its roots go back all the way back into our Old Testament to just after the flood. And we have there the raising up of the man named Nimrod and the Tower of Babel. And really Babel and Babylon stands for everything in the world as opposed to God in terms of idolatry and world systems. You remember they came together and they formed their own group, and their desire was that they would have this powerful nation that would reach unto God, this tower would reach unto heaven. And there was an idolatry that was associated with Nimrod and his wife and children and throughout life as time went on. And so idolatry in Babylon and throughout the history of the children of Israel, Babylon was always standing opposed to them in terms of world systems and in terms of idolatry. I picked up a interesting definition of idolatry from William Newell, and he said, "Idolatry is man's placing a visible object of worship before his eyes to protect him from God, thus silencing his conscience that he might indulge his lusts." Repeated, idolatry is man's placing a visible object of worship before his eyes to protect him from God, thus silencing his conscience that he might indulge his lusts. And truly what idolatry is, something in the place of God, something that a man's hands or woman's hands can handle. And if you look back at the history in the Old Testament, idolatry was often associated with immorality and the indulgence of the lusts of man. And so Babylon speaks of idolatry and the worship that is without God and the idea of man following their own conscience. So in terms of the subject of these chapters, chapter 17, I believe, is the destruction of this woman. This symbolizes the religious system of the world. So it's religious Babylon that is in view in chapter 17. And come to chapter 18, it is commercial Babylon that is going to be judged. And we'll look at this in detail a little bit further on in the meeting. Look at the subject again of the chapter. You'll see that the harlot, the woman of chapter 17, and the beast work together. You'll notice in verse number 3, you'll notice that the woman sits upon the beast. When you come down to verse 7, you'll notice that it is when John sees her, he notices that the beast is carrying the woman. So there is this mutual benefit that is occurring between, in the first half of the tribulation, between this woman that symbolizes religious systems of the world and the beast. And so they'll work together for the first half of the tribulation. But then religious Babylon will be cut off and destroyed around the midpoint of those 7 years. Whereas commercial Babylon, chapter 18, will continue on throughout the tribulation and will meet its end at the end and will be judged specifically and by the Lord in the end in the vile judgment. So that is the timing and the subject of these verses. Come now to the distinction between these chapters. You will note that while there are a number of similarities between chapter 17 and chapter 18, I think there are some very striking differences that speak to us of two different judgments on two different entities that we'll see in these verses. In similarity between them, you will notice as we go through the chapters that both systems, if I put it that way, hate and oppose the saints of God. And both of them are very quick to shed the blood of shed righteous blood. And both are found in association with the kings of the earth in fornication. And both will be judged and subsequently destroyed from the earth. Some of the distinctions then in terms of it. We look at this fourth parenthetical section from chapter 17 to chapter 19. You notice there is a repetition of the phrase "after these things." In chapter 18 and verse 1, "after these things I saw," that's John. And then chapter 19, "after these things I heard." And so I believe there is a nice natural division that God has given to us of this parenthetical section. It's showing to us that these chapters are both subsequent to each other and also distinct from each other. And so you have chapter 17, and it's after these things that John sees chapter 18, and it's after these things, chapter 18, that he sees and hears the scene. So you have scenes that are on earth, and then chapter 19, scenes that are in heaven. Chapter 17, when we look at it, really highlights the abominations of this woman. Verse 4, the golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. That's verses 4 and 5. And then also her opposition to saints and martyrs. You'll find as well that chapter 17 reveals to us a mystery. And I will suggest to you as well in verse 5 that when it speaks there of a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the word mystery is likely not part of her title. The title starts with Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I take that from as well when we look at the angel. He speaks of showing to John the mystery. And so it is something that is going to require spiritual insight. Something that has not yet been revealed to man is now going to be revealed in these chapters. So God declares Babylon to be the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. It really, I believe, speaks to us of the source of all spiritual impurity. And that links us back to chapter 14 and the references there. When we come to chapter 18, it is now not a mystery that is spoken of, but five times over it is the great city Babylon, or that great city. That's verses 10, 16, 18, 19, and 21. And that is the emphasis, again, the cities is the emphasis of the judgments of chapter 16 and verse 19. Chapter 18, it is not necessarily spiritual, but it is the making of rich men and the richness and the luxuriousness of their living and their selfishness and pride that is brought to our attention. Again, we look at the character of the sin or the iniquity of the harlot was the martyrdom of God's saints, and specifically the witnesses of Jesus. But the iniquity of the city in chapter 18 is that of a godless commercialism. And there are those who have made merchant princes, or they've made merchant kings out of them. They've made themselves rich in dealing with the people of the earth. You'll find as well in chapter 17 that there is this woman who is directing the affairs of the earth. She's sitting on top of the beast, perhaps in a position of authority. We'll see as well in verse 7 that she is carried by the beast. There's that working together of them, but still she is in a position of authority. And her influence, we'll see, is influence over all of the earth, all the people of the earth, whether it's the kings with which there is that spiritual fornication, or the waters, which is the people, nations, tongues, people, multitude, nations, and tongues. She has this influence over all of the earth at that time. And so she is sitting upon the waters. She's sitting upon the beasts. She has that kingship over all the kings of the earth. Whereas when we look at chapter 18, it is not necessarily that institution that is ruling over the earth, but it is that capital city. And it is that center of commercialism that, when it gets overthrown, is a source of great sorrow for the inhabitants of the earth. The judgment is also different between chapter 17 and 18. When we come to verse 16 of chapter 17, we'll see that it is the ten kings and the beast who are responsible for the judgment of this woman, of this system. Whereas when we come to chapter 18, it is the kings of the earth who bewail the destruction of the city. And specifically, when we look at chapter 18 and verse 8, the end of verse 8, we see that it is God who judges the city. As strong as the Lord God who judgeth her. So it is a direct intervention of God that would judge them. There's also the thought that when we consider chapter 17 referring to the religious systems of the world, all amalgamated together, it likely would not be possible for the kings of the earth and the beast to destroy her in 1 hour. If chapter 17 and 18 were one judgment, just speaking of it in different time frames. But when you think of specifically in chapter 18, it is mentioned to us that the judgment of this city, the great city Babylon, comes in 1 day and in 1 hour. And that is the words of the kings and the merchants and those in the ships. It is 1 day, 1 hour, such great judgment that has come to pass. Another reason why these chapters are different is the timing of the setting up of the worship of the beast. And so if we think of if chapter 17 and 18 refer to the same event, just in more detail, and it happens at the end of the tribulation, there really is no time for the putting away of the religions of the world and the setting up of the singular worship of the beast and of Satan. So really what is in view in chapter 17 is the religious entity. I believe it is the amalgamation of the religions of the world. And in its root is something that is likely Christian-like, if you may say, and something that is God-like, but it is entirely without God and without Christ. It is something, when we think of this harlot, it is, I believe, something that would speak to us of idolatry. And so there is still the worship of gods, if you might say, and still the worship of items and of beings. But yet when we look at the Antichrist, look at the false prophet, the beast and the false prophet, they're not interested in the worship of things or of gods. And the setup of the beast and the false prophet will be the singular worship of the beast, which in turn will promote worship of Satan himself. And so the beast is desiring to be set up to be worshipped. So the harlot has corrupted all forms of worship and is amalgamating false worship together and will embrace false worship altogether under one head. And so although she will unite worship that rivals God or is worship against God, she is going to be, as it were, totally overtaken by that abomination of desolation that is spoken of in Matthew 24 and in Daniel chapter 9. And what is that? It is the fact of a man claiming worship as God. The fact of a man, the beast, setting himself up in the temple of God and claiming worship for himself. And so chapter 17 and chapter 18 must be distinct, as we see that the religions of the world and the beast will work together for a period of time. But then that must be done away with, as Satan will not desire any competition, you might say, and there is going to be the putting away of religions, and there's going to be the singular worship of Satan in the second half of the tribulation. Finally, in relation to the distinctions of the chapter, we'll find in chapter 18 and verse 4 that there is a call, is a voice of Christ, I believe, calling to his people to come out of the city Babylon, the city. You'll note that call is absent from chapter 17. We must ask ourselves why. And I believe the answer is, and we think of chapter 17 as representing spiritual idolatry in its really its basis form. Really, any true believer, anyone who has truly trusted in the King, in Christ, and at first after the tribulation would not be characterized and be involved with the worship that is promoted by this woman, by the harlot. Yet when we think of chapter 18, it is obvious that there are those that have taken residence in that city. There are those who in some manner have been taken up with the commercialism and the luxurious living and the godlessness of the city of Babylon. And so now they are called out before it will be judged. Now, thinking of an example from the Old Testament, perhaps would illustrate that. And I was thinking of Lot. We reminded of Lot on Sunday. Remember that judgment fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah once the righteous were removed, and once Lot was removed. And if we didn't have some of the verses of the New Testament, we wouldn't have called Lot a righteous man. But he is called one who is righteous. And so judgment, he was one who was not involved, you might say, with as in these verses, in chapter 17, in that religious form and the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he was one who was involved with, you might say, commercial Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember, he was the one who was found at the gate, found in that place of authority and judgment, dealing with the men of the earth. And he lost his reputation in the city. And so maybe that's an example of these chapters in 17 and 18. Lot sitting in the gate, it would be an example of chapter 18. And now he is called out for the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so in chapter 18, God is calling forth to his people to come out of the city before it is judged. So the distinctions between chapter 17 and 18. There are a number of things that are we need to take literally in these chapters, and there are a number of things that are symbolic. So chapter 17, I believe, is mainly symbolic when we think of the harlot, the woman. A difficult verse is the end of the chapter when the woman is described as that great city. Perhaps she represents the spiritual institution of the great city Babylon. We'll come to that maybe in a few minutes. But really, she is spoken of as a symbol. She is a mystery. Her name is Babylon the Great. You will notice that she is found sitting upon three different things. In verse 1, she is found sitting upon many waters. And that is interpreted for us as a symbol of the people of this earth, peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. You also found that she is found sitting upon a beast. That is verse 3, and we know that is the beast of of the first part of chapter 13. And as well from verse 9, we found that she is sitting upon the seven mountains, which are the seven heads. And so I put in the notes there that the woman exerts influence that is both, or all altogether demographically, politically, and historically, as relating to the waters, the beast, and the mountains. And so she is one who has had influence over people and over political systems and upon the history of the world. And so the harlot pictures the spiritual institution of the city. Chapter 18, I believe, is a literal city, and it is a literal system of commercialism that will be judged. And so I mentioned already the institution of worship of chapter 17 will need to be destroyed so that the worship of the beast may start. And that is what we term as the beginning of the Great Tribulation that is spoken of in Matthew chapter 24. And so that city will continue until the end of the tribulation. Chapter 17 introduces to us the name of the harlot as Babylon the Great. And that is a mystery, preceded by the word mystery. And so really, it falls, I believe, into the same character as other mysteries that we have in our New Testament. It is something that was previously not understood, previously something that is not known to man, and now is going to require, as it were, special spiritual insight that must be given for us to understand it. And that is really the understanding that is given to John from the angel in verse 7. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast and the seven heads and the seven horns. And so it is a mystery in chapter 17, speaking of symbolic Babylon, religious Babylon. Whereas when we come to chapter 18, as I mentioned, the emphasis is on the city, and so I believe it's a literal city. I've noted as well, and perhaps there'll be some discussion on it as we come through it, there's, if you read through different people and different commentators, they'll often take chapter 17 as referring, the woman referring to what we have today as the religious institution of the Roman Catholic Church. And I believe that comes from chapter 17 and verse 9, when this woman's sitting upon the seven mountains. And from there they say, well, that Rome was built upon seven mountains, so it speaks of Rome. And it's often, that view is often taken with those who believe 17 and 18 speak of the same thing. And so they would say that Babylon is actually a symbolic name for the city of Rome. And I believe you get yourself into a little bit of difficulty as you go down that path too far, in my opinion anyway. But I believe that when you think of chapter 17, it really is speaking of something that is bigger than just that religious institution of today. I believe it goes back all the way back to the flood and encompasses all the false religion that have accumulated up through that time. And so while it's entirely possible that the religions of the world will be amalgamated under Catholicism in the future, I believe that what is spoken of here in chapter 17 as a harlot did not start in the tribulation. The harlot did not begin to exist in the tribulation, and nor did it find its, you might say, final fulfillment in Catholicism. Although, all that being said, there are many similarities that can be made throughout that system. Final question of literal and or symbolic is chapter 18. Is Babylon the city a literal city and a commercial capital, or is it something that just symbolizes the commercial character of the last half of the tribulation? I believe we don't have any difficulty understanding that there will be a need for a literal temple to be constructed in the tribulation. There will be literal sacrifices that will be offered throughout the first half of the tribulation. So I have taken the line that this is going to be a literal city that will be rebuilt. It will definitely be a commercial system that is together. But I believe when we look at the burning, those crying and the weeping and wailing of those who have considered the destruction of this city, I believe it truly is a literal city of Babylon that will be rebuilt. And we can look at this in the Bible studies in relation to some of the Old Testament prophecy as well. And so in relation to that, there are Old Testament prophecies of the destruction of Babylon. As we look at them, I believe have not yet found their final fulfillment in some of the events of history in the Old Testament and even to our day. So when we look at some of the references to Babylon in our Old Testament, specifically in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and specifically Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50 and 51, I find there that the prophets are speaking of the judgment of Babylon. Remember that Babylon was used by God to judge the people of Israel. Yet they were going to go into Babylon for just a short period of time, and then they were going to come back out of Babylon, and God would judge Babylon for what they had done. And so I've noted some verses, I believe in your notes there, Isaiah chapter 13, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, their pride shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, it shall never be inhabited." Jeremiah 50 says, "It shall be no more inhabited forever, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, neither shall any son of man sojourn there." We look back at when Babylon was taken over by the Medes and the Persians, and throughout history, I don't think we find a time when Babylon was utterly destroyed and when some of these verses could have come to pass. There are those that still lived in it. Babylon did continue on for many years, though it has faded into insignificance in today's world. It is still going to come under the judgment of God, as we see in these passages, and specifically chapter 18. We find as well that chapter 18 and verse 4 is a very similar verse to chapter 51 of Jeremiah. And God, in Jeremiah, when he's speaking of the destruction of Babylon, is calling the people of Israel out of Babylon. You have to remember that if we take it as a judgment, as some do, of the Medes and the Persians when they took over Babylon, Babylon was not destroyed at that time. And the people of Israel did not come out of Babylon. And in fact, Daniel stayed and was elevated to positions of authority in that city under Darius and under Cyrus. And so I believe these prophecies of the Old Testament still need to be fulfilled. And they're going to find their fulfillment in the judgment of chapter 18 in verse 8, "For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." And so if it is true, as I've taken it, that the city of Babylon will be built up again, those who are involved in it, who have been caught up in that city, will be warned by God to come out before the judgment of God will fall upon them. So God will care for his people, and they'll be warned to flee as they were in Jeremiah in chapter 51. Interestingly as well, when we look at some of the different empires of the past, we look at Ezekiel chapter 26 to 28, there we have recorded for us the judgment of the city of Tyre. And Tyre was that great maritime city to the north of the children of Israel, the land of Israel. And God was going to judge it in a very immense and terrible way. And if you read, we won't take time to go through it, but if you have to take time to look at those verses, there's a very similar list to that which is found in chapter 18, verses 12, 13, and 14. So it was that maritime capital of the city, and it was the ships of Tyre, we read, would travel throughout all of the earth. And it was said to enrich the kings of the earth at that time, very similarly to what we have here in Revelation chapter 18, where the kings of the earth and the merchants have been made rich by it. And so at its destruction, we have again the same three groups of people, the kings and the merchants, and those are in ships. So there is that similarity from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The time is gone. We'll close there. So these verses, chapter 17 and chapter 18, we can keep in our minds, 17 is a lot of symbolic teaching to us of this religious system that will characterize the earth in the first half of the tribulation. It is judged around the midpoint of the 7 years. And chapter 18, I believe, speaks to us of that commercial Babylon, that which will be rebuilt and will characterize the earth and will be judged by God in the end of the tribulation. Next week in the will of the Lord, our subject in the Bible study will be the first six verses of chapter 17, and we'll move on if we get through them. So really, it's the indictment of the harlot, the description of her, and the sins that are recounted for us. So chapter 17, verses 1 to 6 is the Bible study for next week. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we would bow in Thy presence and thank Thee for the Savior. We're truly thankful, each one of us who are saved here, that we will never be required to go through this time of wrath. We're thankful that we have the promise, if I go, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. And our Father, we look forward to the day when our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, will return to take us home. And our Father, we would continue to pray for the unsaved. We cannot help but be reminded of the judgment that will fall upon this earth. And we are reminded of our loved ones and those that we are in contact with, those that we seek to spread the gospel to. Our Father, we pray that Thou wouldst have mercy upon them, and that they might be saved. We're thankful, Father, for each one who have gathered here. We think of many who are not with us. We ask Thy blessing upon them. We ask that Thou would take us home in safety in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.